Good morning and welcome to worship on this 25th Sunday after Pentecost. To those worshiping with us from home, we welcome you and our friends at the Springs as well. Just a brief word of note that Pastor Ben is on vacation this week, so he is not with us this morning, but we pray that he will have a good and relaxing week off. For all who are able, I invite you to stand for our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land that we were born. suddenly like the grass.
From 1 Thessalonians. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in the darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. And we are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live within him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus told his disciples another parable. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given. They will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So we're on the second to the last Sunday of the church year, the year where we use the Gospel of Matthew to proclaim the good word of the good news of Jesus Christ. And Matthew is known for having a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I can't wait for Advent to begin. I'm done with gnashing teeth and fire and brimstone. So I'm going to start with a story, and you're going to have to pay close attention today to get my point. But I think you will. I'm going to start by telling you something that happened to me a number of years ago. I was visiting a long-term care facility, and I wasn't sure which room the person I was visiting was in, so I approached the receptionist to find out. And before I asked her which room, I asked, "How are you today?" And instead of the usual "fine," or the dreaded long drawn out diatribe about what a crappy day she was having and all of that that could go with that, "How are you?" her answer not only surprised me, but to this day it brings a smile on my face to remember. To my query, "How are you?" she simply replied, "I'm blessed." I have no doubt that that was the gospel truth, because no matter what kind of a day she might have been having, she knew she was blessed. That story has stuck with me. And looking back on that brief encounter, for me, her response demonstrated the difference between one person's perception over against another person's reality. By that I mean, I've known a handful of people in my life who some might say, if it weren't for bad luck, they wouldn't have any luck at all. You've heard that expression too. But often as I listen to their view of life, I can't help but think at least some of it is self-fulfilled prophecy. And by that I mean, if you think something bad is going to happen, it probably will. Conversely, if you feel blessed, you most certainly are. It occurred to me that that might be how we can make some sense of this parable Jesus told. A man's going on a journey, but before he goes, he entrusts his property to his slaves. Upon his return, the first two slaves are commended by their master for the way they used the talents that he had entrusted to them. To each one, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." But the one who was afraid of his master buried his talent in the ground. So upon the master's return, that slave received quite a harsh tongue lashing. But perhaps it was actually self-fulfilled prophecy. His master said to him, "You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter?" That's precisely the point at which I'd like to reframe the point that I think Jesus may have been trying to make, and what that may mean for us. Because if Jesus is alluding to his second coming and the final day of judgment, and most scholars agree that that's the case, then we would do well to remember that Jesus also told us, as Paul did in his writing to Thessalonians, that no one knows the time or day of his return. It will be at an unexpected hour like a thief in the night. And if that's the case, then the parable is more about what we do in the meantime, what we do in the here and now, what we do while we're waiting for Christ to return, to come again. Clearly, we are to use the talents he has entrusted us to further the kingdom of God, and we're to use those talents without fear of failure. I say that because by virtue of our baptism, we are already assured of the promises of God and we are heirs with Christ. That means we have nothing to fear. The Apostle Paul put it like this. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might have a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Therefore, if we believe that we are co-inheritors of God's promise, and that God is, in fact, trustworthy, and that God's steadfast love endures forever, then we have nothing to fear. And so as we await Christ's return, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're invited and called and equipped to use our God-given gifts of time, talents, and treasures to further God's reconciling and redeeming work in this world. Conversely, if like the slave in the parable, we believe God is harsh and judgmental, then we live in the fear of God's wrath and condemnation. And if that's the case, it may be that we're so afraid of failure that we're unable or unwilling to take risks. Which leads me to wonder, could the harsh judgment be a direct result of how that third slave perceived his master, and not in how the master truly was or is? I'd argue that it is his perception. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy. He thinks his master is harsh and he's afraid to take any risks. Only there's plenty of biblical evidence to the contrary, that our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That God is in fact like a sower who recklessly throws seed out wherever it falls, just with reckless abandon, even if it's going to fall on rocky soil or be choked by thorns or eaten by birds, or if it falls on good soil and takes root and grows. God is like a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wings to protect them, to provide for them, to assure them of her presence. God is like a shepherd who searches for his lone, lost sheep. Or like a patient parent waiting for a wayward child to return home. To me, the evidence that God is loving and forgiving, gracious and merciful, is overwhelming. I've read it, heard it, lived it, and experienced it for myself. And I'm willing to bet so have you. So for those of us who are seeking to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the here and the now, rather than fearing failure, we need to be risk takers. And whenever someone asks us how we're doing, we can simply respond, "I'm blessed. Thanks be to God." Amen. With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray for the whole church, the world, and all who are in need. Gracious God, you give talents and gifts to all your people, and you equip your church to use our time, talents, and treasures to further your kingdom on earth. Turn us from fear and self-serving ways so that others may come to know your gracious love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, you've entrusted us with the care of all creation. Give us wisdom to protect farmlands and harvests, waterways and natural resources, animal and plant life, so that all living things may thrive. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, you call us to honesty and integrity. Instill these values in the hearts of leaders of all nations, tribes, and peoples. Free any who are oppressed, expose all corruption, and bring redemption to victims of injustice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, you teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Where there is sickness or sorrow, bring healing. Where there is loneliness, reveal your love in community. Make your presence known to all in need. Today we remember before you Carlin and Larry Campbell, Terry Chapp, Chuck and Arlene Dietz, Dal and Gay Haverlin, Doug and Jody Martin, Morgan McCrory, Jim and Marnie Reinmuth, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, and Shirley Watson. For whom else do the people pray? For all those we named aloud, for those we hold in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you are faithful in all generations, and your steadfast love indeed endures forever. And so we give you thanks for the promise of resurrected life, even as we lift up the families and friends of John Piper and Connie Rattenberg and all who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of God's peace and be sure to wave at the people worshiping with us from home and our friends at the Springs. Few announcements for our life together. I'm sure most of you know that this Tuesday, since it's Thanksgiving week, we will not be having our regular Tuesday together Tuesday meal and an adult class, but there will be children's choir rehearsal at 6 p.m. and chorale rehearsal at 7 p.m. Also, the church office will be closed on Thursday and Friday in observance of Thanksgiving. The following Together Tuesday, so a week from this coming Tuesday, we'll begin celebrating the season of Advent with a soup supper at 5 p.m., followed by hold an evening prayer here in the sanctuary at 5:30, and then at 6 o'clock, our usual Together Tuesday activities. So if you're able to provide a soup for lessons and carols on December 3rd, or one of those Tuesday evenings, please contact Christy in the church office. I also want to highlight an announcement about FISH, Friends in Service to Humanity, all-volunteer organization that our church has a great connection with, thanks in large part to Steve and Norma Edmond. We want to encourage you over these next few weeks to bring gifts of food, canned goods, non-perishable items. A whole list of things are listed in the bulletin as suggestions, and you will see those announcements printed on the back page. So please remember the people who are in our community who are in need and provide for those less fortunate than ourselves. With those announcements, we'll continue now with the offertory hymn and How Great Thou Art as we prepare for Holy Communion.
Thank you.
God of all goodness, generations have turned to you, gathered around your table, and shared your abundant blessings. Number us among them, that as we gather with these gifts from your abundance and give thanks for your rich blessings, we may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and after blessing it said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. As soon as the communion servers are in place, we'll invite you to come forward and receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then the cup, an individual cup of red wine or white grape juice. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. Please be seated, and as the Spirit moves you, come forward. Remember the body of Christ given for you. Steve, the body of Christ given for you. Marla, the body of Christ given for you. You're the body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed 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 for you. Thank you. Please stand. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word, Christ Jesus, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by this food, send us to gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now receive the benediction. The blessing of the living Father, Son, and Holy Spirit surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks.